पोस्टर निकला हीरो। योर अटेंशन प्लीज। एज द क्यूबन किड ऑलवेज सेड, हियर वी मीट वंस अगेन।
Hello and welcome to the Marubadiyum podcast. Today we're going to talk about yet another Kannada movie on the trot, the 2014 release Ulidavaru Kandante. The movie is directed by Rakshit Shetty and is a neo-noir crime drama anthology film. Rakshit plays one of the lead characters along with Kishore, Tara, Achyut Kumar and Rishabh Shetty playing the other important roles. To talk about this movie, we have returning to our show Pallavi, the connoisseur of Hollywood movies and a recently converted South Indian. She was with us in the last podcast of Undu Moteya Kate. Welcome back, Pallavi.
That was quite an introduction, Kumar. Thank you. And hi, everyone.
Before we begin, I'd like to put out this disclaimer that this podcast contains multiple spoilers for the movie. A great way to actually enjoy this podcast would be to watch the film first. It is available on YouTube with subtitles. And then to listen to this podcast. As far as I know, it's not available in any of the commercial streaming platforms yet. Anyway, here we go. Warnings given. Let me start off with a very, very brief summary of Ulidavaru Kandante. So the movie is based on a reporter's retelling of a murder incident of a small gangster in the small fishing town of Malpe, which is like an hour's drive from Mangalore. The character of the reporter, Regina, decides that instead of covering the murder incident in a very straightforward manner, she would rather look at the incident from five different perspectives of five people, who all of whom are connected to this incident or have been impacted deeply by this in one way or the other. So what happens is this leads to the film having six chapters. One for each of the major characters and a final one called Reasons, which sort of ties up all the loose ends. I will speak in more detail about the perspectives and the final chapter a little later in the podcast. But to get started, let's listen to what our Mangalore native has to say. So Pallavi, let me start off with a small question. While the story is said to be about five different perspectives, anybody who's going to listen to that is going to expect, oh, this is going to be a Rashomon kind of storytelling, where, you know, there's one story that's being told by the perspective of one character, and then there's another character who comes in but gives an entirely different viewpoint of the particular incident. But in my opinion, this story in fact tells the existence of five different characters, keeping that one particular murder incident as a pivot. So I'd like to know what your view on this is.
So at the start of the movie, it is pretty clear that Regina is sort of the narrator or sort of the person who binds the whole movie and tells you the story from all the five perspectives. She interviews the people. So she is writing this, and of course it brings in her perspective as well. Each character in this movie is not able to explain the whole incident which happens, which you mentioned as the pivot, in a complete manner. So everybody sort of giving their bits and pieces. And then Regina's trying to solve the puzzle. Basically, nobody knows what exactly happened, but Regina's trying to make some sense out of it.
Let's dive headfirst into the movie. First chapter is called The Voice of Silence. It basically introduces the character of Raghu and Richie and shares more details of the life of Raghu. What about this segment is it that you really liked?
So obviously the part about the origin story of both Raghu and Richie is sort of brought in this first part. So that sort of explains, especially Richie's character, which is going to be, which is explained in detail in the second part. But basically what is sort of the series of incidents which led Raghu to move to Bombay and become a gangster, and Richie, his story of how he, was sent to a remand home after he committed a murder, or rather a homicide. I'm not sure how it's called, as he was a juvenile delinquent. So that story sort of explained, and also Raghu's story of, what's happened to his mother and his father's death, which is informed to him by Shailesh. Who's one of the characters, who's one of the narrators of the movie. So all those things sort of give some clarity as to what is happening in the movie and who are these characters, give some sort of understanding of what this movie is about. partially at least.
This is something that we see throughout the movie, right? You don't get the entire information about a person or an incident at one point. Like, for example, if you know something about Raghu in the first segment, despite the fact that it's entirely about him, we don't know everything about him. There are some details thrown here and there in the later segments also. So, and this is something that I really appreciated, because for a significant part of the movie, you're still left waiting for details as to, you know, what exactly is going on. And you're really waiting for the director to tie up the loose ends.
So yeah, so as the movie is not very, it's not chronologically placed, right? So we get the same incident.
Yeah, it's non-linear.
Non-linear, exactly, that's the word. So non-linear. So here and there we get some hints. The same story is said in different ways. So from each part of the movie, we get some information of the character. Some of the leading characters, especially like Richie and even Raghu and his mother, we get bits and pieces of information about what their life is and what is their personality as well. So that is an interesting way of telling a story, so that it's not given easily to the viewer, and some parts is even left, you know, untold, so that it's left to the viewer to sort of guess what happens to this character or what this character might be doing. A few examples of that we can discuss in the second part is what I'll bring that up in the second part again.
Okay. Yeah, a small tip to listeners, in case you're watching the movie, don't be distracted, you know, don't try to do something else on your phone and then keep trying to watch the movie. You will miss some details or the other here and there. So coming back to the first part, two things that I really enjoyed about this first segment was the homage to popular movies, Sin City and Pulp Fiction. With respect to Sin City, they had sort of created this gangster chase sequence that Raghu encounters in Bombay. So he has stolen something very valuable from the gangsters and he's running away from them. The way the entire sequence was picturized was, there are some people who might say, oh my God, it's a ripoff of Sin City. But the way I see it, it's really a very nice and clean homage to Sin City. The second homage that Rakshit has given in this segment is to Pulp Fiction, which sort of props up in the later parts of the movie as well. And this is with respect to that red bag where he's carrying the valuables. It's never mentioned what the valuable is, and nobody talks about it. But the only thing you're sure of is that it's really worth a lot, and it's going to assure him of a very good life in Dubai. And they also sort of recreate the glow that we see in Pulp Fiction, right? Whenever they open the suitcase, there's this glow that is seen on Samuel Jackson and John Travolta's face. That is recreated to, you know, in this movie. And when anyone opens the bag, you know, there's this golden light on their face. So I thought those are two very neat homages.
The chase sequence of Raghu escaping from Bombay from his gang members is done really well in that noir fashion. I think it was an intelligent way of showing him running away. I mean, they could have done a cliche chase sequence in a car or something of that sort, which we would see in any Indian movie. But they took a different route and they, you know, did this stylized way of showing the sequence.
So the last time I spoke to you, you mentioned that segment number two, that is basically Richie, was your favorite segment. Do you want to talk about it? Since it's your favorite segment, I'm not going to interrupt or say anything now. I'll just let you do it.
Yeah, so the second part is especially, well done, because of course it's talking about the central character in the movie, that is Richie. I mean, Rakshit Shetty has done a great job as Richie, and especially his introduction scene and how they sort of, show how his character is sort of a very violent person without mercy, but has this comic element as well. And also they bring in, they show these movements of how he can be really reckless and violent, but they don't really show the violence physically. Like, they don't show us people getting beaten up. That's all sort of left to our imagination. But he also brings in some comedy to sort of ease the scene a bit. So I think his introduction is done really well. I think he's directed himself very well. Characters' traits are really shown really well, why he's become this character. His violent streak starts from his childhood and is continued. But he has these moments of normalcy where he talks like any other guy.
Yeah, so Rakshit plays one of these characters that a lot of mainstream heroes have done, I'm pretty sure, at different points in their careers. It's of this, an unemployed or, a sort of a ruffian who has a heart of gold, maybe. But I think the difference that he sort of brings to the character is that he's truly evil. I mean, yeah, of course, he's had like this trauma in his childhood and where he's been sent to a remand home and all of that, which is talked about in that segment. But I think the part that he really brought about well was that, he is not a nice guy. Yeah, I mean, he brings like a certain kind of morbid humor whenever he's beating up somebody. And, there's a segment where his father accuses him of breaking somebody's nose. And he says, you know what, I didn't break that guy's nose. So he goes all over this town all the way to meet that guy to break his nose to make sure that whatever his dad said was true. So, yeah, that morbid sense of humor is there. But I thought it was a very good rendition. I mean, I really didn't like the character, which I think is definitive of the performance of Rakshit Shetty. And two other tributes that Rakshit has also given in this segment. So where he's telling this story of the Cuban and the Mandya kid in the remand home. The Cuban kid's name is Antonio Montano, which is the character that Al Pacino played in Scarface. And the Mandya kid has a very, I think, a name that I'm not sure how many Mandya kids or any Mandya kid would have. The Mandya kid is named Vijay Dinanath Chauhan, which is the character that Amitabh Bachchan played in Agnipath. So yeah, I might just keep propping up these references that he has done throughout the movie. So please don't get annoyed with that.
I think what Rakshit Shetty was trying to show is that he's a movie buff in real life, and he wants to show that Richie is also a movie buff, maybe.
Hey, I wanted to ask this thing. So there's a lot of curse words that are thrown around in this particular segment. So are they like native to Mangalore and the surrounding areas, or are those curse words, used across Karnataka? And how many of those are you aware of?
Yeah, these are definitely, curse words you would hear somebody from that region use. Some of them are across Karnataka, used across Karnataka, while some are very specific to that region, because the dialect is slightly different.
So how many of these cuss words have you used in real life?
I don't use too many Kannada cuss words, but I've at least heard them.
So you use some?
Not really.
You've not answered the question.
I don't use Kannada.
It honestly, but I guess I might not get a specific answer to this particular question.
True.
Okay, so moving on, let's go to segment number 3, Fish Curry. So this is my favorite segment, so maybe I'll talk a bit about it before coming to your opinion of, before coming to what your views about this particular segment is. So Fish Curry is the segment which talks about Raghu's mother. In the movie, she's called Ratnaka. She sells fish in Malpe. I guess she collects fish from the fishermen and then sells it. She takes it inside the town of Malpe and sells it to the people there. Ratnaka is played by Tara, who I've seen in some early Tamil movies where she used to play, like in the 80s or late 80s, where she used to play usually the sister to the heroes and, some very minor characters. So Tara has done a fantastic job of actually living that character, whether she's talking to her fellow fisher women, if I can call them, if that's the right term, or whether she's making the fish curry. So the part that I absolutely loved about her performance was when she meets her son. So the thing is, the expressions that she'd given when she meets Raghu after so many years was very genuine and very Indian. I mean, in today's time and age, when a lot of these directors have grown up on Western movies, I mean, see, the references they are giving to are like Scarface, Pulp Fiction, Quentin Tarantino, etc. I'm not sure if this is Rakshit Shetty's input or it's Tara's performance. Her expressions and, I mean, you could almost feel that her thoughts and feelings are Indian from the way that she reacts to seeing Raghu after so many years. I mean, she's seen her son last when he was like 12 years old, and now he's probably like 30 years old. How she immediately does not recognize him, but then when the revelation dawns on her reaction and how she treats him after, she brings him into the home, and the sort of desperation she shows when he says that, I have to leave immediately. She's like, you've come after so many years, please don't talk about leaving. And finally, the sequence where she is waiting for her son and he never turns up. But finally, she takes the plate and, she sort of comes to the realization that, okay, this fellow is not going to come back, and sits dejectedly at her, at her door. I thought that was, her entire sequence was fantastic. She really lived the role.
What I want to emphasize is that this scene could have been the scene where she sees her son after many years, could be done very melodramatically according to Indian movie standards where, her expression sort of conveys the emotion perfectly, and her emotion of, from shock to say happiness was done in such a manner that, I mean, anybody in the same situation in real life would have probably done the same thing. And of course, the last part, even I noticed that she continues, she's so hardened by, her circumstances in life where her only son ran away when he was really young, and her husband passed away a few years back. So now she's alone, and I think she's accepted her life as it is. So she's come to, even though she realizes that her son will probably not come back, she doesn't break down, and she decides to continue with her life.
I think that's like a really great observation. The fact that, she's been hardened by all the events and circumstances in her life. Another sequence that I really liked in this segment was how she prepares the fish curry. I mean, how true it is to the traditional preparation of fish in Mangalore.
Yeah, so that's how it is done from scratch in a Mangalore household of, the grinding the, chili paste, or, she sort of fries the chili, and then, yeah. So and those earthen pots you see are actually used in most Mangalorean houses as well to cook fish curry. So yeah, I think it's pretty true too. And I really felt like eating that fish curry once she was done with it. So
It was damn tempting.
Yes.
And going back to Tara and her son, the ending of this particular segment sort of gives a hint of, what is going to happen towards the end of the movie. But I also realized that, she kept spreading the news that her son is home, which ultimately, would prove to be probably his death knell. Because the fact that she's going around telling everyone that her son is back, he's going to take her to Dubai, etc., etc. I think the news travels fast and reaches Richie, and who finally realizes that, this guy's back and he has to go get him. So ironically, in a way, her happiness about her son coming back led to his end. So let's go to segment number 4, which is Whispers in the Wind. This and segment number 5 are some of my least favorite segments in the entire movie. If I ranked the order in which I like the segments, I think 4 and 5 would probably come towards the end. The reason I didn't like segment number 4 was because we've seen like a very neo-noir presentation, a kind of a storytelling till that point in the movie. And the romance track of Kishore was very melodramatic, and it almost seemed to cater to a very low, the low denominator. Especially the way they had picturized his romance. I don't know, till then it seemed very realistic, all the portrayals, whether it was a mother and son love, the enmity between Raghu and Richie, the situation on the ground of how people are treating each other. This romance sort of seemed to be out of place, but the other segments were particularly fine and understandable, but only the part about the romance of Kishore sort of threw me off. But I think the other parts in the segment were really good. How they showed Janmashtami celebrations in Mangalore, a very tense situation, actually, that has a very peppy children's song. I think Paper, Paper, Medicine, Paper, which it's a very peppy children's song. They're celebrating Janmashtami, but the background is actually very tense, where the hero, not hero exactly, where Kishore is, you know, going around looking for something. Or, hey, hang on, does Medicine Paper come in this segment or the next one?
Yeah, it comes in segment 4.
It comes in segment 4, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that sort of a contrast was very good, but somehow this depiction of the romance put me off this entire segment. I mean, your views, what do you think?
So, see, I think primarily, of course, there should be some, in most movie, like most Indian movies, there would be at least one love story, shown in some or the other way. But here there's since the main protagonists of the movies are not having any particular love stories except for Richie's, slight sort of a kind of flirtation with Regina. But no other character really has a hardcore love story. Maybe they wanted to bring in one love story, of course. And I think the primary reason it was brought in is to sort of link the characters of Munna and Balu. Balu we have not talked about yet. So Balu is another pivotal character in the movie who sort of defines how the movie ends. So I think it was primarily to link those two characters. The character of Balu's sister, who's Munna's romantic interest, is brought in. And of course, it also leads to a few good songs. I think chapter 4 has two good songs. One is the one you mentioned, with the kids. And the second one is where Munna is chasing the fisherwoman. So that is also a very melodious song and very well written, though, I mean, it was a little excessive for a movie like this.
I mean, we can't get through segment 4 without talking about democracy.
Yes. So I think democracy is introduced in section 2, where the same scene where Richie is buying beer asking him to get beer for him. And that same scene is shown in two ways, one in chapter 2 and one in chapter 4. But of course, democracy gets a little more meat in chapter 4. The child actor who's played this has done an incredible job. He's a really endearing character who's, of course, since he's already almost an adult, and because he's fending for himself, he's an adult in a way, but he does have these childish attributes. Of, for example, when he asks Richie for his Ray-Ban sunglasses, again he asks Munna for the same in another chapter. So he still has these childish traits, which is very endearing.
Yeah, that segment was very cute. So initially I felt bad for him when, you know, they refused. But then seeing the kind of mouth this fellow has on him, I felt that, you know,
yes,
that they don't give him the glass.
Yeah, he pretty much bosses around Munna everywhere. So
yeah, speaking about him bossing around Munna, I want to ask you this about so Munna in the movie is from Mandya, and everybody in the Malpe region, you know, acts as if there's like this huge bridge in culture between Malpe and Mandya, and they keep making fun of Munna either for his language or for how he refers to things. So what's this thing about?
Yeah, so see, there's always a friendly rivalry between different regions in the same state. So it's nothing really deep-rooted, mostly like the way he, you know, because there's a difference in the language. There's a scene where Akshay Shetty is making fun of how he speaks. I really don't understand what he says half of the time, is what he says in Kannada. So, yeah, so basically there's a joke about the way he speaks, because the dialect is different in Mandya and Mangalore. I mean, sorry, in the Malpe, Udupi, Mangalore region, Dakshina Kannada region. And Mandya is more of the slightly more on the northern part of Karnataka, the farming belt of Karnataka. So the language is slightly different there. So he's the only one from Mandya that he doesn't really have any support as well. So I think he gets ridiculed for that. The second reason he gets ridiculed is that I think his love story is sort of famous in the whole town. That's why Rakshit Shetty refers to him in Kannada, I mean, loosely translated as lover boy in English. So yeah, I think he's pretty much famous for doing, you know, chasing that fisherwoman.
So now let's go to segment 5, that is Ka. This is a segment that really tested my patience. See, the reason being, after watching 4 segments, I was really ready for tying up some of the loose ends. But this segment like really starts a new story. I mean, yeah, it does bring back connection to the earlier 4 segments, but it literally starts a new story where it brings about the origin of the valuable item that is in the red bag. And that was really very difficult to wait. I mean, for the first 4 segments, I was really patient. You know, I know that there's a lot going on and the director is tying up all the loose ends. But this was very difficult to watch. There are some unbelievable things that happen here. There's a crow that appears in the middle of the sea and follows Achyut Kumar all the way from there till his house. And it haunts him. And, you know, he's sort of obsessed with both the crow and the fact that whatever valuable he has found is supposed to be cursed. He calls it Shani, etc., etc. Yeah, it has all the dark and morbid humor, but I found it to be really taxing. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it was a little stretched. I think they could have summarized what exactly is happening. I think the same aspect of the crow chasing him was like re-emphasized again and again. I can understand they're trying to drive the point that he was literally driven mad by this crow chasing him, and also the impact of this object is being, you know, emphasized further, that whoever gets comes into possession of it sort of is bound to get bad luck. So I understand that aspect, but yeah, they could have sort of shortened the segment. And maybe because there was nothing else in this segment except that whole, valuable object and the crow part. I think the interest level sort of dips after a while when it gets repetitive. There is one thing which sort of separates this from other parts of the movie is that this, you also mentioned it, that there's a supernatural element of this crow coming in and chasing. And so, yeah, so there is a difference in the storytelling style here. That,
yeah, I mean, in a way, if you look at it, right, there are like 5 different movies. Sort of storytelling in the filmmaking almost seems very distinct in the 5 phases. Like the first one is very noir, and the second one, I thought the second part was very, very Quentin Tarantino like, though that flavor is retained throughout the movie. The second part really had the Tarantino flavor. The third part was very Indian. The fourth part, I don't know, it was very South Indian. I don't know, maybe with all that guy, you know, sort of dreaming behind the girl, that sort of romance. The fifth part had a lot of supernatural elements in that kind of an. I think that's a great observation.
Yeah, so the second part of the movie was Quentin Tarantino without actual blood. So that was good.
Yeah. So and pop culture reference alert. In this, in segment number 5, Achyut Kumar's character Balu, right?
Yes.
He shows, Munna, the name of the seller to whom he intends to sell that valuable item. And the name is Marcellus Wallace, who is actually sort of the mob boss in Pulp Fiction and the original owner of the valuable, for whom Samuel Jackson and John Travolta are tracking the suitcase in that particular. Anything else do you think we missed in this particular segment?
No, I think you've covered everything. But I think one thing which we should probably talk about is how this Huli Vesha is sort of pops up in many parts of the film, and sort of again is a reference to the culture of the particular region. I think it plays a pivotal role in the film as well, in many parts. Like it's shown in chapter number 2 and 5. Where Balu is himself a character who is a dancer in the Huli Vesha.
Yeah, for that matter, Rakshit Shetty is properly shown the culture of that particular region, right? I mean, it's not just the Huli Vesha. I think in segment 2, they also show the Yakshagana happening.
Yes.
And then there is this depiction of how Janmashtami is celebrated in Malpe. And I thought this was like a great local. It was very rooted in the culture of Malpe, if that's the right way to put it. See, I have a question here. When a movie like this, any movie for that matter, is very rooted in the culture, do you think it opens up the possibility of alienating viewers from, let's say, a different place? Let's say an Andhra or a, you know, any of the other South Indian states, or somebody from North India who wants to watch this movie, let's say with subtitles, but may not understand the local culture.
No, I think it's the opposite, because mostly people are curious about cultures of which they are not aware of. For example, you found it pretty interesting, isn't it? Because you are not from that part of the world, but still you thought that's something interesting which was brought out in the film and you learned something new. I think it could go either ways, but I think most people would be curious.
So let's come to segment 6. I don't really want to give away anything by, or maybe, you know, we've already told that there is a spoiler warning. What do you think about the ending? Do you think that they tied all the loose ends up, or I don't know, how do you think, what is your opinion on the ending?
Yeah, so there is a series of murders which happened. Basically, there are three people who die. I think the interesting part is that bits and pieces of who's going to die is brought in different chapters in the film. So basically, for example, in the first part itself, we can guess that one of the main characters is dying, because Regina sort of refers to that particular character being sort of dead, and we will never know why he did what he did. So basically, Rakshit Shetty, whom she's referring to in the first part, whose dead body is shown, but his face is not shown in the first part, where people are doing all the police procedures. But of course, the death of Raghu is not very well explained, because Richie's friend Dinesha sort of again creates confusion in the end of the movie, saying that Richie did not kill Raghu. So his death is sort of again left unexplained. And of course, Munna's death is sort of like, you know, his character sort of gets confused that Balu was killed by Richie, and hence he goes and kills Richie. And that sort of is a major confusion in the film, so much so that I think Richie's character, Rakshit Shetty, basically sort of has a self-fulfilling prophecy of how he dies. He talks about the story of this Cuban kid and Vijay stories. That sort of, again, is connected to how he dies, because he doesn't know why he's getting killed. Same like how the, Cuban kid doesn't know why he's getting beaten up. So I think that was an interesting thing that Rakshit Shetty sort of, keeps repeating in the film, and that's how he dies. I think it was an interesting way to end it. I think there was no better way of ending it. But it's still left to somewhat interpretation because of Raghu's, there's a question mark on Raghu's death. But yeah, I think it was, I think they couldn't have done it in a better way.
But so do you think Raghu is alive or dead?
Dinesha is in jail for Munna's death. Dinesha is the only one who would be held responsible for Raghu's death as well, because he's an accomplice. My thinking is that because he does not want to be the person also, charged with that murder, he could have just lied that Richie did not kill him. So at least he's spared of one of these accusations. So that's the only way I can sort of explain, because it is clearly shown that Raghu is dead. Raghu is shot in the chest, and he's sort of thrown into the sea. But no, his dead body getting thrown into the sea is not shown, but it is implied. I don't see any reason for Richie to spare him as well, because from the movie, it's very well established that Richie is a very cruel person. And among all the people he would pardon, I think Raghu would be the last person, because he actually wronged him in his childhood.
What is your overall reading of the movie? I mean, do you want to talk about that?
Yes, there are the non-linear style of movie storytelling was very interesting. For example, I mean, in terms of how the movie is sort of shot as well, that's something which is striking, because the same sequence of events is shot from two camera angles to explain two different perspectives. So that I found is very interesting, and I've not seen that very often, or almost not in most movies. So that's something I found like, which is slightly different. It was very simple. I mean, I think the story itself, I mean, the scene itself is very simple, but it's shot in two ways to create some kind of interest. Of course, the music was nice, and the way it was directed by Rakshit Shetty, I think it would be a very difficult movie to direct, because there's so many different storytelling styles. And like we discussed already, that each part of the movie is a different movie in itself, in its styling. So I think it would be interesting for the director to shoot it. And it is a complicated story, and to ensure that the audience does not get so confused that they don't find it interesting is also very important. I mean, so that the interest is kept alive in the movie. So I think it was a difficult movie to write. I'm sure it was very difficult, and the screenplay and the direction has totally justified the writing. I think the kudos to the team to, you know, I think it was quite path-breaking, in Kannada movie,
So for my closing thoughts, I'll pick up on two points that you mentioned. One is that this is a rather difficult movie to write and to make, and this is Rakshit Shetty's debut. The fact that he took up this challenging assignment and he pulled it off is really appreciable. The second point I wanted to talk about was that not a lot of people talk about Ulidavaru Gandante. You know, when they speak about the new age Kannada cinema movies that have made their mark, somehow I don't see a mention of Ulidavaru Gandante. You know, I think overall it's a very well-made film. It deserves a lot more recognition than it already has. I wouldn't call it a fantastic film, primarily because of the, slow pacing towards the end. Maybe they could have even abandoned one entire segment to have made it a lot more tighter. The homages were really nice without, looking like a ripoff. Or it's a must-watch for anybody who wants to experience what New Age Kannada cinema is. Okay, so this was a great discussion. Thanks a lot for joining us on the podcast, Pallavi.
Thank you for inviting me again.
Thank you, everyone, for listening in. If you like this podcast, you can like and share this episode through the Anchor FM app. Subscribe to the Marupudiyam channel on Anchor FM for regular updates on interesting movie discussions. Till we come back with the next movie, have fun. Bye.